welcome to the 4SC Annual Results 2014 conference call. Today's conference is being recorded. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Johan Orlowski. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you. Good afternoon and good morning to the U.S. My name is Johan Orlowski. I'm the IR manager at 4SC. It's our pleasure to welcome you to today's conference call on 4SC's financial results for the full year of 2014. Joining me on the phone today is Enno Spillner, CEO and CFO of 4SC, and Daniel Fitt, our CDO and CSO, who will be available for the Q&A sessions later on. Before we start, I would like to briefly remind you that during this call, we may make projections or estimates regarding plans and objectives relating to our future operations, products or services, future financial results, or assumptions underlying or relating to any such statements, each of which constitutes a forward-looking statement subject to risks and uncertainties, many of which are beyond our control. Actual results could differ materially depending on a number of factors. With this, I'd like to turn the call over to Enno.
Yeah. Thank you, Johan, and welcome everyone to our 2014 financial year results conference call. It's a pleasure having you on the call today once again, and now we will give you an update on 4SC. Our plan is to provide you with an update on our operational and financial highlights for 2014 and our outlook, of course, for 2015. At the end of the call, we will open the line for Q&A as usual. 2014 was another very eventful year at 4SC, and we continue to make progress at all levels of the company. We have actively pursued our research and clinical development programs while creating additional development options for the future. Furthermore, we have strengthened the company's financial base, and in personal matters, we have made valuable additions to our operational management team and the supervisory board. Yet, we clearly have to state that the year was not without its challenges, and we still face a number of tasks in the future, namely the acquisition of additional partners for our development programs, as well as the sustainable financing of the company and of the development of our clinical programs. We have, and we are increasing our efforts on these areas. In light of the company's challenging financial situation in the reporting year, one of our main tasks was to strengthen the short-term to mid-term financing of the company. In June, our long-standing anchor investor, Santo Holding, underlined its commitment to 4SC by finalizing a loan agreement for up to 10 million euros, of which 6 million euros were drew down already during the course of 2014. In addition, in February 2014, we concluded a financing agreement with the U.S. investor, Yorkville, for convertible bonds of up to 15 million euros. We used this financing tool very moderately during 2014, just drawing down gross proceeds of 1 million euros so far. Both measures helped to extend the reach of our company's financing considerably. I will now take you through our operational highlights for the reporting year 2014. We have continued to make good progress through the year with our epigenetic anti-cancer compound, resminostat, which is our most advanced oncology compound. In May 2014, our Japanese partner, Yakult Honsha, who is developing the drug exclusively for Japan, successfully completed a phase I trial with resminostat in patients with advanced solid tumors. This trial was able to demonstrate that the compound achieved a good level of safety and tolerability for Japanese patients. This is two of the most important preconditions for further development of resminostat in Japan. The completion of the study triggered a contractually agreed milestone payment towards 4SC. Furthermore, Yakult Honsha is also undertaking two phase I/II trials with resminostat in the indications of liver cancer, or HCC, and non-small cell lung cancer. In the fourth quarter, we announced that Yakult Honsha successfully completed the phase one part and initiated the randomized phase two part of the clinical phase 1-2 study, which evaluates resminostat in combination with docetaxel as a potential novel second or third line therapy of advanced non-small cell lung cancer patients in Asia. This randomized phase 2 trial will compare the efficacy of docetaxel alone, which is the standard chemotherapeutic regimen for non-small cell lung cancer, and will compare this with the combination therapy of resminostat and docetaxel in non-small cell lung cancer patients. In the third quarter, following the phase 1 trial in Asian patients with advanced liver cancer, the multicenter randomized phase 2 part of the clinical trial commenced. This study compares the efficacy of the resminostat-sorafenib combination with the current HCC standard therapy of sorafenib as a first-line standalone treatment in up to 140 Asian patients with advanced HCC. The study will also evaluate ZFP64 or zinc finger protein 64 as a potential biomarker in patients treated with resminostat. As seen in our phase 2A shelter and in our SAPPHIRE trial, high baseline ZFP64 expression has been indicative of achieving longer overall survival in HCC and in Hodgkin's lymphoma patients upon treatment with this with resminostat. The start of the randomized phase 2 parts of both trials in Japan demonstrated the positive data on resminostat, the strong commitment of our partner Yakult, and the great potential of this exciting drug candidate in a variety of indications. We are very excited for the phase 2 data from both Japanese trials, which we expect to be available in the first half of 2016. Also, in the latter half of the year 2014, FOSC was granted a patent for the resminostat manufacturing process in the U.S., meaning that the production process for the compound is protected until 2029 in almost all key markets around the world, and these markets include Europe, Japan, China, Russia, Hong Kong, Singapore, and Australia, and now, last but definitely not least, the USA. The shareholder loan from Santo Holding enabled us to push ahead with preparing for the further clinical development of resminostat. We have been moving forward with the preparation for a phase 2B trial with the goal of testing the resminostat-sorafenib combination as an HCC first-line therapy. While utilizing resminostat to treat HCC represents an opportunity to treat an indication with a large unmet medical need and large market potential, in particular in Asia, we have gathered broad additional rationale for the development of resminostat in a number of other indications as well. We also see the potential of resminostat in treating hematological niche indications, in which clinical development towards the market is possible with fewer resources and less time. We are excited for the prospects of the compound and will continue to further evaluate the potential use of resminostat in additional indications, thus creating additional development options in order to maximize the value we can get from this compound. So, all in all, we are very pleased with the progress that Yakult Honsha has made through 2014 with resminostat in Asia and the work we conducted on resminostat here at 4C. The results are extremely encouraging and drive us in our efforts to secure financing to advance resminostat into a phase 2 study in other regions such as the US and Europe. We continue to pursue talks with potential partners and investors in order to secure funding for the further clinical development of this compound. Moving on to other value drivers of our oncology pipeline, important development milestones were also achieved by our compounds 4C22 and 4C25 in 2014. Both compounds continue to demonstrate increasing potential and, in 2014, returned very satisfying phase 1 results for safety and efficacy with both assets. At the ASCO conference in June 2014, we published positive top-line data for our second epigenetic anti-cancer compound for C22. The data from the phase 1 TOPAZ trial in 24 heavily pretreated patients with advanced hematological tumors showed the compound's safety and good tolerability. 4C22 also demonstrated, in our view, outstanding signs of anti-tumor efficacy, both in terms of long-term stabilization of the disease and in terms of shrinking the tumors. One patient, for example, who exhibited a complete remission of the tumor lesions upon treatment with 4C22 was treated in the study for a period of 28 months. Overall, 83% of the patients benefited from the treatment. More than half of the patients were stabilized for over 100 days, and two patients have been treated for more than 2 years. For C22, the highly selective epigenetic compound inhibiting LSD1 and HDAX1, 2, and 3, that is also targeting cancer stem cells via modulation of the hedgehog and the Wnt signaling pathways, is a tremendously exciting compound with a unique mode of action. We are dedicated to pursue the option with this compound, which generates maximum potential value to 4C and its shareholders. We are also happy to report our third anti-cancer compound, the EG5 kinesin inhibitor 4C25, which is a novel oral treatment for patients with advanced malignancies, reported promising top-line data from the phase 1 Aegis trial in December of last year. The compound showed promising indications of efficacy and good tolerability alongside a very positive linear pharmacokinetic profile. In this phase 1 trial, 4C25, as the first compound of its class, was successfully tested in an innovative, continuous, metronomic dosing scheme. Currently, one patient whose previously strongly pronounced and highly aggressive cancer has been stabilized for about 8 months, now, after taking 4C205, still is continuing study treatment. After completing the study report, we expect to present the final study data at a scientific conference during the course of 2015. 4C will discuss the results with key opinion leaders and potential partners to assess the best possible development options for 4C25 in the future. We also continue to make progress operationally with our discovery and collaborative business segment in 2014. Let me report on this as well. The ongoing collaboration partnership of 4C Discovery and Crelox received funding for research into new epigenetic anti-cancer compounds, notably funding for research into new epigenetic cancer drugs under the Munich-led M4 Leading Edge Biotech Cluster Program. Going forward, the partnership will work on identifying inhibitors for epigenetic bromodomain proteins. 4C Discovery also started several new collaborations funded by government grants with the Universities of Munich and University of Heidelberg. The other research collaborations and partnerships we have, including those with Mindspace BioNTech AG and Danish pharmaceutical company Leo Pharma, continue to develop currently. On to the corporate and the financial side. There were some changes during the year of 4C's supervisory board. Dr. Thomas Werner and Klaus Kuhn left the company for personal reasons in September 2014. And in October 2014, we appointed Mr. Jörg von Petrikowski as a new supervisory board member and as head of the audit committee, bringing with him over 30 years' experience in accounting and auditing. He was previously a partner at Ernst & Young, where he held the life science practice in Bavaria, serving national and multinational clients in the pharma, biotech, and medtech industry. In addition, in early 2015, another high-ranked personality from the pharma and biotech industry joined and completed our supervisory board again. Professor Helga Rübsam-Chef, former CEO of Acurus AG and well-equipped with long-lasting research and development and management experience, especially from her times at Bayer, was appointed member of the board. In June of last year, we strengthened the 4C management team when we hired Dr. Erich Enghofer, a very experienced oncology expert and pharmaceutical manager. In his role as the Executive Vice President, Oncology and Hematology, Erich Enghofer is responsible for the strategic marketing of Resminostat and our complete oncology portfolio, including expanding our partner network to pharmaceutical partners and strategic and clinical opinion leaders. Erich has more than 30 years of experience in the pharmaceutical industry, most recently at Bayer Deutschland, where he was involved in the regulatory approval and market success of the liver cancer drug sorafenib in Germany. We are very excited to have Erich in our team. Now coming to the financials, and before I run through the financial highlights, I would like to remind you that the figures we will present here refer to group consolidated figures for the period, and we have rounded for simplicity. Full details of the group figures, including the individual reporting segments, discovery and collaborative on the one hand side and development on the other, can be found on our website. Total group revenues for the full year of 2014 were up 44% to 7.1 million euros, and the main reason for the strong increase was a solid research collaboration business by our 4C Discovery subsidiary, as well as the delivery and manufacturing of Resminostat compound material to Yakult Honsha for clinical trials in Japan. In the development segment, revenue of 3.7 million euros, or 54% of the consolidated revenues, was generated with our partner Yakult Honsha, while the discovery and collaborative business segment showed a solid development of the services and research collaboration business sales, contributed 46% to the group revenue. Our research subsidiary for the Discovery GmbH was thus once again able to nearly show a balanced operational cash flow. Further information regarding segment results can be found in the management report in Chapter 3 of our consolidated notes. Referring to the operating expenses, the operating expenses, which include the cost of sales, distribution costs, research and development costs, and administrative costs, rose to 16.5 million euros in 2014, an increase of 7% on the prior year figure. Of the total expenditures, 13.4 million euros was attributable to the development segment and 4.3 million to the discovery and collaborative business segment. The increase in operating expenses is primarily attributable to the substantial rise in the cost of sales, which climbed 177% in the reporting period to 4.1 million euros. This increase again, is mainly to the expenses incurred in 2014 in connection with the production of the Resminostat compound for clinical trials in Japan, most of which were passed on to 4C's partner Yakult Honsha. Research and development costs were down 17% in 2014 to 8.5 million euros, but at 51% still constitute the largest block of operating expenses. Research and development costs were lower mainly due to the year-on-year decrease in the number of ongoing clinical trials, which led to a significant decrease in outsourced services for some of these projects. As a result, the net loss in 2014 was trimmed by a total of 8% year-on-year, and the earnings per share improved by 10% to minus 0.1 euro compared to minus 0.21 euros in 2013. And this is due to an increased average number of shares in the reporting year as a result of the conversion of convertible notes issued to Yorkville in March and September of 2014. The company had sufficient liquidity at all times during 2014, and as at end of December 2014, the company had cash and cash equivalents totaling 3.2 million euros. In addition, as mentioned before, 4C can draw down further tranches from its shareholder loan from Santo Holding and potentially from the remaining convertible notes. Coming to the outlook, overall, we have had a good operational year and we made good progress with our pipeline products, particularly the supportive interim clinical data from our partner Yakult Honcha for resminostat in patients of Asian origin. We are also excited by the positive top-line data with 4C22 and the interest we are currently seeing in this compound. Now, the markets are waiting for us to take a decisive step towards securing further development and financing for our development programs and secure a financial base for the company. In this context, on March 11, 2015, a resolution passed at our extraordinary general meeting concerning a reduction in share capital and a reverse share split in a 5-to-1 ratio was a key decision. This will grant our management board a greater degree of flexibility in terms of potential financing options, and we will carefully and most attentively monitor the financial markets in the weeks and months to come. Our primary goal for 2015 is to safeguard the further clinical development of our value drivers as just described and their respective financing. We remain committed to taking the next steps of bringing our important new medicines, in particular resminostat and 4C22, to patients and thus exploit the considerably potential present in our research and development programs. We are very excited about the future of 4C, and we look forward to updating you in due course on the progress of our novel cancer compounds. With that, I would like to thank you for listening, and also thank you for your interest, and we are now open to your questions. Operator, I hand back over to you. Please proceed.
Thank you. If you would like to ask a question at this time, please press star 1 on your telephone. Please ensure that the mute function on your telephone is switched off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. If you find that your question has already been answered, you may remove yourself from the queue by pressing star 2. Again, please press star 1 to ask a question. We will pause for just a moment to allow everyone to signal. We now take our first question from Christian Glennie from Edison. Please go ahead, your line is open.
Yes, good afternoon, gentlemen. First of all, can we start off perhaps with some commentary around some of the recent developments in the HDAC field? Obviously, on the one side, the FDA approval for Novartis' panobinostat versus some clinical data earlier this week from Prakinostat from MEI Pharma, and how that sort of how you see just some observations generally on the HDAC field as it stands today.
Yes, of course, Christian. Pleasure having you on the call. And, I mean, there have been recent movements, and you mentioned the two most prominent events here. And maybe, Daniel, you want to take over in that question.
Yeah, thank you for the question. I think it shows that there is still a strong interest in epigenetic therapies. And I think what 4SC is focusing on is on progressing unique features of its molecules and translating that into clinical settings. And you can have different strategies, and I think that can be is reflected in the news flow which is obtained from panobinostat with a good backing from the FDA here, and I think we're looking forward to see how that develops in the market. On the other hand, prakrinostat is a different story. I think it's not up to us as being in the same field here to comment on study designs of companies, but I think that the data clearly reflects that there are challenging indications, and you carefully need to select endpoints and to decide on the design of the study. I think that is more the issue of the or the second drawback we have seen here for this molecule. Anyway, that leaves a very important commercial space for resminostat as our HDAC inhibitor in future development, and in particular recognizing that there's still no approved HDAC inhibitor in the European territory. So we think that we are well positioned there, and we can use the situation maybe in the near future.
Okay, thank you. That's helpful. And sort of leads on to the follow-up is you talk about potential investigation in some niche hematological indications. Could you comment a bit more on maybe some specifics in terms of the types of cancers we're talking about there?
Yeah, sure. That's still in the early part of investigation here, and there are a couple of interesting indications we are thinking about. You know that we have good data from Hodgkin's lymphoma. Of course, there are other indications like T non-Hodgkin's lymphoma or B non-Hodgkin's lymphoma which could be interested, and that is still in the process of evaluation.
Okay, thank you. And then just to be clear, so that we're clear on sort of the strategy is obviously still to pursue the first line liver cancer. It's not as if there's some switch. I mean, obviously you want to investigate the hematological side as well, but 4SC's focus remains on that, you know, the funding and then obviously the progressing resminostat in HCC.
Yeah, I guess that's a very important question, obviously, and to be quite clearly, HCC still is a very attractive market and asset to us, and we have been working on this in 2014, as I just reported. And also Yakult Honsha, as our partner in Japan, is making good progress here with that asset, as we mentioned before, hopefully showing data in the first half of 2016. Said that, obviously it's our obligation also as the management team of 4C to elaborate on other opportunities and options as well, monitoring those, and this is exactly what we're doing. And Daniel made an important point here just a few minutes ago when he mentioned that there is no approved HDAC inhibitor so far in Europe, which is obviously leaving room for other indications as well. And this is what we are monitoring, particularly that other HDACs have shown success in certain small niche indications. So we are elaborating on this as an additional option, and we will have to evaluate how to proceed here, also in context of the further financing of the company.
Sure, thank you very much. And then just finally, maybe on the discovery side of the business, in terms of what to perhaps expect in terms of new collaborations for that business unit?
Well, I think that's a good question. I think, as you know, we have a couple of early projects in innovations in our labs, and of course we are looking around and looking if there are potential partners, and I think the assets developed quite well in the last year, and that opens up a couple of different options of commercialization, being on the one hand maybe what you have seen with Leo Pharma in the past on the psoriasis area, something which could be something, a sort of licensing arrangement or option type arrangement. On the other hand, a couple of collaborations on new targets, new ideas, which could be pursued here in collaboration with pharma partners. And some of the collaborations we are not allowed to announce in the public statement here, but I think there's a couple of things and a couple of discussions going on here.
Okay, thank you very much.
As a reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1. We now take our next question from Marietta Minnis from Equinet. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Yes, good afternoon, and thanks for taking my questions. Just a couple, please. The first is on resminostat strategy. On the one hand, Yakult seems to be doing a study in liver cancer that very much seems to cater to the same needs that your proposed phase two study would, as in, you know, the sort of the robustness of the data and the biomarker data that it would generate to convince a potential pharma partner. And on the other hand, you mentioned the hematological space, which my personal sense is that big pharma probably has greater appetite for the hematological space compared to liver cancer just based on the risk profile. So do you think that you might actually hold off on the liver cancer study for now, invest the money into the hematological space instead, and basically then try to seek a pharma partner in 2016 based on Yakult's liver cancer data and some of your hematological data? Do you think that would be a workable strategy? And the second question is just in terms of prioritizing between 202 and 205. I think about a year ago you said that pending the phase one data, you would take one of them forward. But now, of course, they've both had very good data, and it sounds from your press release like you're in discussion to progress both of them. So I'm just trying to understand, you know, what would be the gating factors to determine which ones you would progress or whether it would be possible to progress both of them. I mean, in particular, if you found partners for both of them and, you know, basically you didn't have to contribute very much to the financing, would you then feel that you have the internal human resources to progress both compounds into phase two simultaneously? Thank you very much.
Okay, I think, first of all, welcome, Marietta, on the conference call. And the first question with regard to Resminostat, I will hand over to Daniel, and I'll take your second question afterwards.
Yeah, I think referring to your question regarding liver cancer, I think it's a very good point. The thing is that liver cancer, that is, as you said, it's an interesting market with some challenges. So a couple of players failed in that field. But to remind everybody, I think that was most of them were kinase inhibitors. So with Resminostat, we are addressing a complete new mode of action. So we think the development risk is much lower. On the other hand, we have a biomarker in hand, and I think for further risk management and to make the best out of the financial resources we have, we should take into account if there is an optimized strategy to use the cash and to design the study in an appropriate way. And talking with lots of KOLs in that field, everybody's saying this is a quite good and promising product, continue with that development. But if you have a biomarker, use it. Make use of managing your statistics and improving the likelihood of success in phase two trials. And that is one of the aspects which should not be underestimated in the upcoming priorities we are looking for. So we think we need to continue in liver cancer, but we should use the smart design for further clinical trials. And we should learn from every data we get. For example, also data we get from Japan.
Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you, Daniel. And Marietta, you remember quite well what we said last year with regard to 202 and 205. So you're absolutely right. We will have to make you some decisions. I mean, the overall exciting thing about 4C right now is that we have quite a few assets where we internally are quite convinced that they are all worth pursuing into clinical stage and further developing them. On the other hand, we have to be realistic. We will not be able to drive them all forward in-house here at 4C, so we will have to make some decisions here one day. And in that context, we also have to distinguish a little bit between 202 and 205. I think with regard to 202, we are a little bit more, or clearly more advanced concerning the data that we have on the table right now, and we have a quite clear picture on what we could do here and what the next steps could be. And these steps is something we are discussing internally right now, how we could proceed this in-house on our own efforts and on our own control. In parallel, we are also talking and discussing this externally with potential partners, maintaining both tracks here right now and keeping it open until we have a final decision. 205 is probably a little bit different here. We will have to put a little bit more work in the evaluation internally and with research partners here, what we will be working on. So So this probably will not yet be in an immediate in-house development as a fully blown phase two, for instance. But I can see from Daniel's face that he would like to add to that.
Yes, maybe to add one comment to this. I think the data of 205 we published in December last year was a big surprise also to our team. So, and I think it cannot really over emphasize the last part of this clinical trial was really a big story. So seeing that patients treated with low dose once daily treatment oral 4C205 really led to incredibly better results than other more traditional treatment regimens. This puts 205 in an interesting position. However, this data was from December, so it will need some time to digest the data and to look what can we learn for future clinical trials from the data and what is the right strategy to continue. And therefore, 202 is just on the timelines much more advanced than 205 is right now. But I think we are very, very happy with the data we got from this phase one trial, over-delivering and over expectations.
Yes, very, very clear. Thank you very much. Sorry.
Good. And in any case, you asked about our internal capacities once we would proceed internally with clinical trials. I think we have a quite well established team here with a lot of expertise in the different fields that you require during clinical trials, so there would be no significant changes. Maybe you would have to add here and there a little bit, but no major shifts or something.
Thank you very much.
As a reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1. We now take our next question from Mark Pospisilic from Kempen & Co. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon, and thanks for taking my questions. Just two on resminostat. One, I was wondering if you could provide at least a qualitative update just on progress of potential partnering discussions, perhaps what sort of material progress has been made since H1 or since the Q3 results. And then sort of thinking in options, is to what extent is Yakult a potential partner for resminostat development ex-Japan, whether sort of more globally or perhaps just in Asia, or perhaps what level of interest they have in such a deal? Thanks.
Yeah, Mark, thanks for your two questions regarding resminostat. So with regard to the progress on partnering, I mean, what we clearly said last year is that right now it's not yet time for the global deal, and this is why we would like to pursue with the additional clinical trials. But what we can say is that we are in touch with some regional or local players who could add on to our current development of resminostat. But that's pretty much all we can say here right now. But we will definitely keep you posted once this gets more defined. With regards to Yakult and Japan, Yakult, as we said, is a very committed, very engaged partner here in resminostat, and they have a lot of GI, in particular GI oncology expertise. Said that their interest is pretty much focused on Japan. So at least at the current stage, we do not expect that Yakult would go beyond that with regards to Asia or even more with a global or other regions in the world approach. So we think they will stick with Japan for the time being.
Thanks.
As a reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. There are no further questions at this stage.
Okay, so there's currently no more questions from the analysts. So thank you very much, first of all, for participating and for listening to our call. We have all the data also summarized on our web page for review. Thank you for your questions. And, yeah, we will keep you posted. And please stay tuned to 4C in the weeks and months to come on our further development on the clinical side, but also on the corporate level. So Thank you very much, and yeah, have a good afternoon or morning in the U.S. To everyone. Bye-bye.
This will conclude today's conference call. Thank you for your participation, ladies and gentlemen. You may now disconnect.